This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Mike Haas is going to join us at 12:30, manager of media relations at ASM and the Superdome. ASM is the group that manages the Superdome, and obviously they're managing a big, big deal this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The Swifties come to town, and it's an invasion, quite frankly. It's good. It's a good kind, and we're looking forward to it. But there are a lot of logistics that people may want to know about. And the reason that this is important is because the more you know, the more information that you have and that you're empowered, the better time you're going to have. Because you'll be able to manage your expectations. You know what the challenges are going to be. And there's always challenges when you have this many people converging on a facility at the same time. And I know that ASM and their group and the LSED board are working hard to make sure that this is taken care of. So this would be an important half hour to listen to if you're headed over there Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Because we're going to talk about it all. Transportation, we're going to talk about parking, we're going to talk about the flow through the ticketing and all of those issues that are very important for you, because you don't want to start off your experience on a bad note, right? You want to play it smart. You want to know where you're going and why. And the first half of that hour, the 12 o'clock hour, Colin Arnold joins us, the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. So they're engaging in a lot of preparation for this Swiftie invasion as well. And we're going to talk about the coordinating protection efforts. We talked to an expert yesterday. We talked to the chief yesterday about some of that preparation. Colin is the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the city of New Orleans. So he has this all-encompassing 100,000 square, view of what is going on. So we'll talk to him as well, because a lot of the arterial streets and everything else around that area, some are under construction. You want to know about that. We're going to talk about traffic flows. We'll talk about it again in the 11 o'clock hour with Michael Heck, because they have a website that provides information about construction on streets. A lot of people are going to be driving downtown, especially those that are locals and or maybe taking Ubers. What you don't want to have happen is you get caught in a gridlock and you don't get to the Dome on time. I've never been to a Swifties concert, but they tell me there's all kinds of festivities in advance of the concert. And if your children, grandkids, or other, or anything like mine, they're going to be incredibly upset if they miss all of that. So you want to be out in front of this, and you want to make sure that you have a plan. Again, and that's a great website to go to. And I think Michael Heck's a Swiftie. We'll delve into that with Michael Heck. And I'm sure that he's going to be updating that data on their website in order to get you the best information out there. Now, part of what people are going to be doing this weekend as well is they're going to be looking for restaurant reservations. And if you haven't made it yet, today would probably be a good day to get on top of that. I communicated with a number of folks since this past weekend. Things are filling up fast. So we're going to have Stan Harris, president and CEO of the Louisiana Restaurant Association, is going to be visiting with us, telling us about this Swiftie invasion and what this phenomenon is looking like from the restaurant perspective. And and I know that a lot of folks are offering special menus and things of that nature to try and get you in, get you out, get to the concert on time for sure. So a lot going on there. Very excited. I think the city is getting very excited about it. Had an opportunity to talk to a lot of folks last night. I went to the grand opening of the Caesars New Orleans Casino. Congratulations to all involved that helped in that process. And they went through a lengthy list of the regulators, from the gaming board to the Louisiana State Police and so many others, city administration. Mayor LaToya Cantrell was there. A lot of thanks to her administration, members of the council, member of the state legislature, and others all coming together in order to bring this to fruition. They all played a role in this from a regulatory perspective or otherwise, and congratulations to all of them. Because I got to tell you, the place is beautiful. The new entrance is gorgeous. The area where you go in for your parking and valet parking, it's finally open. They will have just over 200 of the 300-plus rooms available for the Swifty concert this weekend. But the energy was absolutely incredible last night. You can feel it. You can feel it in the streets that this energy is building relative to Taylor Swift coming in town. You got a sense of it that everybody was talking about. You going to the concert? You going to the concert? I mean, that was almost the first question out of everyone's mouth, you know, and what was going on there at Caesars. And they put on like a little mini parade. And so congratulations to the entire Caesars team. They had their board of directors in town, as well as top management. And Samir Moad was the master of ceremonies last night, did a great job. And in true casino spirit, short, sweet, succinct, to the point, in, out, they wanted to get to the party. And so I think a lot of people appreciated that as well. Yesterday, we had a group that we talked to, Razom, which is a not-for-profit up in New York that has been helping raise awareness for the Ukrainian war and what's going on there, raising dollars to provide medical and humanitarian aid to the citizens of Ukraine. And they brought in the Cultural Forces Band, and they've been on this tour performing gratitude concerts, their way, Ukraine's way, of thanking us, meaning the United States, its citizens, for facilitating and assisting and providing arms and money and sustenance and raising dollars for the kids there, for hospitals and things of that nature. And it was really interesting, the conversation that we had. So I went to see the concert at the Jewish Community Center at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I couldn't stay for the whole thing. I was there for about two-thirds of it, I would imagine, because I think it was a little over an hour, the concert. Absolutely incredible. And if you have a chance to go out and see this today, I think they're playing today. They are. They're playing, well, that's passed already. At 12 o'clock, they will be at the VA in the atrium, and they have an hour concert. Then they will be at the Marsalis Jazz Studio at 2800 Charters, and they'll also be at the New Orleans Recreation Community Center at 5420 Franklin Avenue. And they will finish out, I think, at the 18th Ward Sports Club at the Quad this evening from 5:30 to 6:30, if my memory serves me correct. There was one that canceled, so let me make sure that, that one canceled, the 18th Ward Sports Club. They will be from 7 to 9 at the Cultural Forces Concert at the New Marini Theater at 2301 Murray Street. It's worth your while, folks. I'm going to tell you, these are military folks. They were musicians and poets and puppeteers and all kinds of different things before the war started. They were some of the first to volunteer to go to war. Some seriously injured. You're going to see a gentleman up there performing with prosthetics that they lost in the war. And to hear some of their individual stories are so compelling, so touching. And then the quality of music that's played is second to none. I mean, it was absolutely, as I said, incredible. Really, they had a country western Ukrainian singer, and he's a big hit now, they say, in Ukraine. You know, country western was not very popular there. It is now because of this guy. He's like the number one performer there, and he is great. But the thing that's really interesting, they have this traditional string instrument. It's called the bandura, and it has 62 strings. And we talked about it yesterday. Talking about it yesterday and hearing it being played, it's the chasm between the two is immense. It is one of the most beautiful sounds you are going to ever hear. Blew me away. And the guy that plays the bandura in the band is obviously a phenomenal musician. So you get to see something. They brought some young kids in there, and their eyes just were big as baseballs, you know, when they were playing that particular instrument. No one had ever seen it. In fact, the lady sitting next to me said, "How many strings does that thing have?" I said, "They just said it was 62 strings." I mean, everybody in the audience was blown away by this instrument. It would be definitely worth your while to get out there and see one of those performances today. And best of luck. And I want to thank Arnie Philko for making them available for our show. Loved it. Truly enjoyed it. I wasn't going to do this, but I kind of listened with a lot of curiosity of what was just talked about in the last segment that Tommy Tucker had, and talking to the IG, Kim Chatelaine, and talking to former Representative Joe Marino as it relates to this project in Gretna. It just seems to me that the issuance of the letter that was provided by the IG was really uncalled for. I don't think it's something that an IG should be engaging in. This project's been going on for 3 years, and on the eve of a groundbreaking ceremony, we're going to break with a letter that's really based with a lot of conjecture. They had not had any interviews. They had not really conducted an investigation. They said they were going to conduct an investigation. Well, what have you been waiting for? That's my big question. This has been going on. You're paid a lot of money. You have a staff. You know this is going on. There were a multitude of votes that had happened before the Jefferson Parish Council. It was no secret. It's just interesting at the very last moment that we try to delay something that's been talked about openly and transparently. And when I read the letter, obviously it sounds to me like we didn't even recognize that this was a CMAR, Construction Management at Risk project. I know that Councilwoman Jennifer Van Ranken is aware of that. I think she even attempted one in Fat City that failed. There are a number of procedures that you have to go through relative to a CMAR that is a lot more probative than just a public bid. And the risk is on the contractor, the construction person. Construction Management at Risk. So you have a ceiling price that if you don't deliver the project within that ceiling price, it's on the contractor. It's a great way to protect the taxpayers. Haven't heard that mentioned one time, which I find strange. There are a number of big projects that have gone on, not only here in the state of Louisiana, and it has its own area of law that governs it. So this is not some exotic scheme that hadn't been tried and tested. It's done in a lot of forward-leaning states. It's been very successful in bringing this about. It is a more complicated situation that is set up, much more than just a public bid, and a lot more safeguards, quite frankly. And anybody that's ever been involved with that would say that to you. So I kind of look at it from that perspective and say, well, if you don't have an understanding of that, or if you did and you still believe that it warranted this letter. You obviously didn't look into it even further to see what was actually done from the facility standpoint because of the monies that were appropriated by the state legislature in the state of Louisiana. They have oversight, right? You have monies coming from the parish. They have oversight. You have Gretna officials involved in this, all of whom, all of these players have oversight by the legislative auditor. So, but when you read this, you almost are led to believe that this whole process is devoid of any oversight. And how you issue a letter without talking to at least one person who might have been in the know, and the one person who actually started the process for the capital outlay for this as it relates to the state dollars, because without the state dollars, this was never going to happen, right, was Representative Joe Marino. If you'd have started right there and just talked to him, he could have laid everything out as to the inception of the project, why things were set up the way they are, and everything else. Now, we might have a disagreement as to who sits on what governing board in this arrangement that's out there. And if you want, if that's your rub, then make that your rub. But don't make it where you're going to poo-poo on the entire project and try and get people to believe that there's fraud and abuse there, but you are not able to point to anything that suspects it. You may believe that it's not a good deal. Others may believe that it is a good deal. You have two economic development arms that have looked at the deal and said it makes sense. And it makes sense because they have actually engaged in those types of deals before. And they know the CMAR process. And they know the economic development oomph that some of these projects take on and the necessity of certain things to happen. Now, what I also find disingenuous that's being promulgated and promoted out there is that they're not aware of any other projects within Jefferson Parish that might be similar in nature. Well, you need to go look again. It's not my place to go tell you what it is. You might want to go run an inventory, because there are several. There are several that I'm aware of. And if I'm aware of it, it's a damn shame that you're not aware of it. So I would go look. And maybe you don't want to go look because you don't want to shine any light on these other projects that are out there because there may be somebody you like or otherwise. I don't know. I don't know what the motivation is. But the fact of the matter is they're out there. The fact of the matter is that there's one that occurred in Fat City that did not go well, and the parish had to pay money. Because all the I's were not dotted and the T's were not crossed. And what I find very suspicious is that it would seem to me that when you listen to the manner in which the IG has outlined her duties, her obligations as the IG, that you would have already begun an investigation into that project in order to provide the framework and outline of what not to do in a deal so the parish does not get in the position that it found itself in that deal, which ultimately cost the parish millions of dollars. No, in fact, when it's brought up, what they say is, oh, well, that's just the Gretna people trying to deflect. It's not a question of deflecting. I mean, if you're going to look at a deal that hasn't even been brought to fruition yet totally, you have one that blew up in the process of getting to fruition. It makes perfect sense. And anyone with a half a lick of common sense would tell you, we might want to go look and probe a little bit as to what went wrong and why in the other deal, and why it ended up costing the parish money, where they had to pay a private citizen money, your taxpayer dollars, money, because something went awry. The value of an IG is not necessarily gotcha. The value of an IG is a little bit of a combination of what an internal auditor does and otherwise, the legislative auditor as well, is to bring forth observations that you have looked at about risk with the construct of certain deals. Plain and simple. And if we remind ourselves of that, as opposed to running around flashing badges and threatening subpoenas and this, that, and everything else, and failing to read people their rights on many occasions, which was experiences that I had with the IG, not understanding their role in compromising other criminal cases that were being conducted by other law enforcement agencies because they were willy-nilly running around the streets, and gain a better understanding of what they should be doing, we would all be better served. All be better served. Because the best way that you serve the constituents of Jefferson Parish is to make sure that you empower the folks engaged in governance with current, valid, relevant information when you're assessing risk. And obviously, some of these people had to go and assess risk. You may not like the manner in which they assess risk, and if that's the case, then make that point. But don't engage in conjecture. Get the data together and figure out where it is, and then articulate that position. But this whole thing about trying to put people on a defensive about something and they're not able to really respond to what you're trying to say because they're not clear as to what it actually is that you're trying to say. Because as I was listening to two conversations just now, they were light years apart from one another as to what was being put forward. That's really a shame for the taxpayers of Jefferson Parish. And it's why in Jefferson Parish, people have had the confidence, because these are the kind of things that are worked out by communicating, doing your due diligence, and everything else, getting all of that hammered down, what it is, where it is, why it is, before we start on a letter-writing campaign and engaging in intentionality about accusations. Not a healthy process at all. Everyone should take a deep breath and start over. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We have Stan Harris, President and CEO of the Louisiana Restaurant Association, the most fun people in the city to work with. I'm jealous of the role that he plays every day. Stan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. I wasn't expecting that, but thank you very much. It's a great organization and a great group of people to represent.
Absolutely. It's true. They never say no. No matter what people need in the event of the aftermath of a storm or a special case where someone's down and out health-wise or otherwise, they're always there. You guys are always there. And I know that I've reached
out to
you
all a
couple dozen times, and you've never said no. So I've always appreciated that. So anyway, Stan, we've got an invasion. It's called the Swift Invasion coming to town, and I got to imagine your membership's happy.
Yeah, we're really excited. You know, last night I was invited to attend the launch of the new Caesars New Orleans and saw those beautiful spaces and venues and things and the hotel. And we start looking at the possibilities of what New Orleans can look like when we have these big events. And, you know, coming up in the fall with kicking off this unbelievable three-night tour that's really kind of an international event. You know, we looked at our colleagues in L.A. and they said it had a impact of over $350 million. So, my gracious, for six nights. So if we could get half of that, that would be fantastic. But our restaurants are really embracing this, because the hotels are going to be at or near capacity if they're not there already. And they're bringing up some really cool ideas to celebrate this entire weekend, because it's very rare that, you know, we get day after day after day of crowds to be able to do something like this. So I think it's a great test for our city as we run up to the Sugar Bowl playoff and the Super Bowl, and gives us an opportunity to really see what we can do.
I've seen special menus. I've also seen special cocktails. I've seen special non-alcoholic drinks. It seems to me they're all in.
Oh, it runs the gamut. I mean, Ralph's on the Park has a bejeweled brunch that they started last week as lead up to this. Brennan's is doing champagne problems happy hour, and bubbles and bracelets happy hour, and Redfish Grill, a Red Album curated menu. Tableau is doing an Era's Balcony brunch. Miss River is doing In Her Era brunch. Even Commander's Palace has gotten into it by creating an Era's theme menu with dishes from each of the eras of their famous chefs. It is exciting. Gabrielle's doing an Era's theme. Arno's has a lunch Arno's version that sold out quickly as soon as they posted it. Haydell's Bakery is doing eat Era's theme cakes and pastries. The Ruby Slipper's doing contests to give away tickets for those things that are hard to find. Copper Vine has theme menus. And even Willa Jean is doing an In My Biscuit era menu. So pretty exciting.
And you know,
to the creativity.
And I don't know that I'm going to get down there. I want to, because the Friday before Halloween is always a big time down in the quarter and in the warehouse district, right? And
it usually
fills up fast. And I called a friend to accommodate some folks that were coming in town, and not thinking, right, that it was not only the Swiftie concert but the Friday before Halloween. And his response to me was, it's like, Newell, are you kidding me? I said, why? What? And he goes, do you realize the Friday that it is? And I said, my bad. Please forget I even requested. I should have known better.
Yeah, we've had many requests from people, not just for the Swift piece of this, but the Friday before Halloween. And we remind them, do you not have a calendar? You know, I mean, these are, you want to go on Thursday, we could probably help you. But the Friday is going to be really difficult. And this weekend, the in-demand restaurants are going to be full on reservations. And the restaurants that typically deal with walk-ups and the rest, they're going to be at or near capacity as well. So we're really excited. We've got some beautiful weather coming up our way, a lot of good positive things happening in the industry to be able to see us get through the fall. You know, last time we talked, we were coming out of the summer, and it was a really challenging period of time. So we get back to the fact that, hey, there's hope, there's excitement, there's enthusiasm, and we have events that are going to run, not just in the concert venue, but I mean, we got Saints and Pelicans and the Sugar Bowl being a playoff this year is going to be really exciting. And then we go right into French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest and the Zurich Classic. So we could have a really exciting next 9 months.
No doubt. So how did September fare? What was the state of the state for the month of September? I think the last time you and I talked was second week of August, somewhere around there. So how did that month work out?
We look okay until we start having to deal with some of the weather issues. You know, when we deal with a potential hurricane and we deal with having to close for a day, that really impacts restaurants for most of that week, because people that were coming into town don't come into town. People that were trying to celebrate something around that time, they might postpone it, or they might cancel it altogether, or they may relocate it out of the market. So that was kind of a shot that we didn't need coming out of a really, really tough summer. And what we've seen now, too, is that we're seeing that the meeting piece of this, while it starts a little bit in September, our leisure travel and our drive-in travel was a little softer, and that didn't pick up in September like we had hoped. So October's been doing pretty well. The demand is there. And there's plenty of events that are going to drive the outside of that. So very, very excited about this. And look, it's great. to see what we saw last night with Caesars New Orleans, seeing that kind of investment in our community after they've been here for 25 years. It's going to lift all the boats. It's going to make everybody in the hotel industry take a look at their inventory and how they go about doing things. And I think it'll create some really good opportunities in our marketplace.
Stan, I know one of the challenges that you guys have had to deal with is that there's some food sectors that have had pretty incredible price increases as those items come to the restaurant, and trying to balance that with, you know, the ticket price on the menu. How's that working right now? Is it still a significant challenge?
It's always been a business where you tried to make pennies and nickels, and then maybe you made dimes, you know, it is always a challenge from a margin standpoint. And then when you see menu price increases that are coming from, you know, the supply chain through, whether it's through the normal process of things moving, or whether we're seeing a supply and demand curve, or we're seeing a lack of supply that's driven up those costs. Inflation is a real thing. We've had all kinds of inflation hits in insurance. We've seen it in utilities. We've seen it in occupancy. We've seen it in food and labor. And in food, you know, there's only so much that the community is willing to pay. You can't just rely on the traveler, the business traveler, or the tourist that's here for a visit, or going to be jumping on a cruise ship, or they're heading from here to London on British Air. So we've got to look at all of these different elements and try to figure out, at the end of the day, are we making a profit? And you've seen some things that have happened where you're seeing some restaurants adding the surcharge for the credit card processing. Because what's happened to us in a lot of cases is, for many years, these were pretty static costs. They've gone up significantly over the last couple of years. And we really believe that a lot of the banks and things are putting some of their affinity costs onto the vendors. So, you know, it's not anything that we like to deal with and have to talk about, but it's a real cost. And when you're talking about 3% of your total volume goes to credit card fees, a lot of people are taking a hard look at this.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I know you've been in this industry a long time. I don't know that I ever thought about that, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
I don't think anybody thought about it, Newell. Because it was static, you know, You know, the arise of, you know, when I was in the casual theme, my casual restaurants that we had, we typically did 50% in cash, 50% in credit card. Well, when debit cards came out, they picked up 40 or 45% of that balance, and cash went to 5%. So All of a sudden, we were paying a fee that we'd never paid before. And it does change the business model a little bit. And if you can pick up a couple of points that are a pass-through cost to you that you get no benefit from, then that's absolutely a benefit. The guest gets to pay like they want to, but there's a little bit of a convenience fee for doing it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, best of luck. I know you'll be out and about this weekend. Really excited for the restaurants in town. I think this is going to jumpstart a great convention season moving all the way through the spring. And I just feel the excitement in the city, and I know you do too.
Yeah, absolutely. We've made some really good progress in crime and some of the things that were the dissatisfiers. And we're going to continue to work with all of the community partners to get these things addressed. And with the folks from the legislature and the mayor's office and the council, continue to try to make our city the best it can be.
No doubt. Well, really appreciate you joining us. Thank you for your time, Stan Harris. Have a great weekend.
Anytime. Thank you, Newell.
Hey,
bye.
Stan, but I did want to ask you, are you a Swiftie, Stan?
I have two daughters in their 20s, so it's hard to get away from. is that a politically correct answer?
Folks, that's code for saying he's a Swiftie. He's all in. He's just worried about the ribbing that all of his friends are going to give him if he makes the admission. That's what that's about.
What's it? The cost has already been absorbed.
There it is. Stan Harris, President and CEO of the Louisiana Restaurant Association. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Got a lot of texts coming in about what I was talking about relative to the Gretna Project and EIG. A lot of folks saying you were spot on with your comments. I mean, we just, folks, got to get it together. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. you know, economic development comes in many shapes and many forms, and you know that because you listen to Michael Heck and I talk about this every Wednesday. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's not rocket science at the end of the day, and you just have to take the time to gain a better understanding of what's being presented and why. Some I like, some I don't like. I get it. But it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. You know, whether or not I would have given as much oomph as that without knowing all the particular details of the deal, it's hard to say from afar. You got to get in the mix and understand. Understand the financials of how certain business sectors operate. But I like the approach always. In fact, we did it in our district station when we built it in Fat City, knowing that we were trying to regenerate Fat City. Did land swaps, worked that out, built a new district station on the second floor, and had commercial space on the first floor. This is not rocket science. It makes good sense. Some deals are going to be more complicated than others, depending on what it is that you're trying to provide for a certain sum of money. I don't know why this is so hard to get our heads around this, but certainly we ought to get our head around it before we start talking about it, right? That seems to make a lot of sense. But sometimes common sense is not so common anymore. When we will be right back, folks, after the break, stay with us, and we'll talk about what we have coming your way in the 11 o'clock hour. Remember, folks, at 12:30, Mike Haas, manager of Media Relations, ASM, that's the group that manages the Superdome and the arena, we're going to spend some time talking about logistics. So if you want your swift night to go off without a hitch, you're going to want to listen to this half hour because we're going to give you the ins and the outs, where the lines are going, what to expect, where you can go with tickets, non-ticket holders, the whole nine yards, the whole enchilada. We're going to give it to you, and that's going to be important. We're also going to visit with Colin Arnold about preparation from a security standpoint, and the Michael Heck, DJ Camino Real, is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.